The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
And a good Tuesday morning, Braves fans. This is Pregame Daily, getting you set for Game 4 of the National League Division Series. Braves and Brewers coming up this afternoon at 5.07 p.m. Eastern. And Chris, once again, another shutout for the Braves yesterday as they blanked the Brewers 3-0 in Game 3. And by the way, kudos to the fans. You and I talked about it on the Ford Leadoff Show. Battery was rocking. Place was hopping early on. Man, Truist Park was, I mean, when they say the building shakes, the building was shaking after Jock Peterson's three-run homer yesterday. Just an awesome, awesome atmosphere down at Truist Park yesterday.
Yeah, Monday day baseball on top of that, mm-hmm, can be a little bit tougher than nighttime enthusiasm. Less time to go get yourself ready, as we like to say, for a game. Plus, you still, whether it's sneaking out of work or sneaking out of school, yesterday it was kind of a nice day because more kids had an opportunity to do it because there were a bunch of kids off here in this Atlanta area. But yeah, the crowd was not only into it, but they saw another one of those games where you go, a play or two is probably going to determine this thing. This was not one of those where you go, wow, last man standing is going to be the last guy with a bat in his hand because this is a slugfest. It's been the opposite of that this whole series, and you got another one of those pitching-type games yesterday. The button being pushed, certainly with the Jock Peterson pinch-hit moment, became big. I think what people are forgetting is the fact that Ian Anderson gets the last out in that half inning. So now all of a sudden I'm not burning a guy getting one out, then having to go to a pinch hitter. There might have been a double switch situation, but I just like the idea that Anderson got out of that inning. Then it set up perfectly as you get a couple of guys on to set up for the pinch hitting appearance of Jock Peterson.
I don't know if you saw this one yesterday. I put it out on Twitter. Ian Anderson, you know, baseball history has been around a real long time, like 150 years of Major League Baseball history. Ian Anderson, the first pitcher in Major League history to have four or more starts in the postseason with four or more scoreless innings in his first five starts in the postseason ever. And that is, again, I know it's setting the bar very low with four scoreless innings.
Yeah.
But anytime you're the first one ever, I don't care what it means, you're doing something right. He was really, really good. And you're right, it was the perfect situation because bottom third of your order was due up in that bottom of the fifth. You set the table with back-to-back singles from Darno and Swanson. And then, of course, you push the Jock Peterson button, and that sends all of Atlanta into an absolute frenzy yesterday afternoon.
And it was, again, another one of those games where you go, who's going to blink? How many bad moments are you going to have? Because both sides actually had a couple in the nothing-nothing game. Everybody knows about the Duval play, but two things that I don't think are going to get talked about enough. First of all, that fifth inning was the best inning of baseball the Braves have had this year. When you look at the top of the inning and you look at the bottom, there's not been a better inning of Braves baseball this year. With the Dansby play, second and third, nobody out. Mm-hmm. Dansby makes a play, and then Milwaukee, because they go on contact, they have their Duval moment, which might have been even worse because this is the guy on third situation. I know a run came off the board early, but boy, second and third, no out. Milwaukee might have thought, here's the time. Finally, we're going to get a couple of runs in this baseball game. And we know now back-to-back shutouts. That's hard to do in the postseason. You know, it's hard to do in a regular season, but it's certainly hard to do in the postseason when you're playing a playoff caliber team. But the other thing that I don't think is getting talked about enough is you played your infield in except for Dansby, who you had halfway. And a shortstop being able to go left or right is a thing. If he's playing in, that ball is through. Mm-hmm. So how you set it up defensively in a world of shifts and analytics and Tellez, when there's no strikes, one strike. I got Austin Riley playing in right field. Then there's two strikes, and he runs back over to third. There's a lot of stuff going on. And the simplest thing in baseball is it really is the simplest thing. You can see it. My infield's in or my infield's back. Infield in, Dansby halfway. And boy, did it work to perfection. He made a hell of a play. Yeah. And then the Riley play in front of him, because now there's one out. And again, I don't blame them for not going on contact. Second and third, no out. See it through is basically what you have to do. But then when you get one out, now all of a sudden they went on contact, and it's an easy play and a rundown. So it really was a fascinating baseball game when you talk about everything that led up to, and then everything after Peterson, where you go, wow, now the bullpen has to do it one more time. And then you go, after they did it, now they just have to do it one more time, because you don't want to go back to Milwaukee.
Yeah, not at all. That's what I said this morning on Atlanta Braves Today. The last thing those guys want to do is have to take a ride to the airport later on tonight and head back to Milwaukee for Game 5, which would be on Thursday. Back-to-back 3-0 shutouts. And, you know, again, I know regular season and postseason stats are completely different. I get that. But I say this one to sort of put into context how good the Braves pitching staff has been here, really since the middle of June. The Braves have now 20 shutouts on the season, counting the postseason and the regular season. 17 of those 20 shutouts, Chris, have come since June 17th. That is a remarkable number. And again, I know that you separate the regular season and the postseason, but again, when you want to just talk about how good these guys have all been collectively, I think that kind of puts things in perspective for this pitching staff right
now.
So
how you get a shutout doesn't matter. You gave me the Ian Anderson number. And again, when somebody's never done anything before, there are a bunch of old guys, and I'm standing in a studio in Atlanta. I almost want to roll over. I almost want to throw myself into a grave and roll over because we're praising four-inning anythings, but that's how the game has changed. It went from 6 quality start. Give me 5, I pat you on the ass and tell you great job. Now we're into 4-inning territory. I don't know what the scenario is. It's going to be the 3rd-inning thing, but I'm assuming it's right around the corner in 2022. Yeah. But throwing a shutout is throwing a shutout. How you do it, how many pitchers. That one doesn't matter. I don't care what you did. Look, complete game shutouts, they're rare. They're unicorns. But if you're throwing a shutout, throwing 17 of them, in a 3-outcome world, when one of the outcomes is really bad, it means the shutout goes away at a minimum with a solo shot. It certainly goes away with 2 3-run bombs. That's a real thing. Like, that's a real – in today's game, to throw that many shutouts in that short a period of time, you've done the work. Now, look, Yoasgar Aranoa has not been a part of that. What we know now is Craig Counsell said that Burns is off the table. Snit went the other way. Everybody and everything is on the table. And how they go today is really going to be interesting. Both sides. Because you have a 4th starter. And actually, you have a 4th and a 5th in Atlanta, if you consider Yoasgar Aranoa and Drew Smyly options. The Brewers don't really have that. They sort of went with a 4th starter thing, hoping not to use a 4th starter. Well, here we are in Game 4, and they have to do it. Eric Lauer, I guess, is the other guy that could go. He started baseball games for them. So I don't know if Counsell, by saying Burns is off the table, just told you that Eric Lauer, or are they going to go bullpen themselves? At the end of the day, not seeing Josh Hader, not having Devin Williams, these are things that absolutely you dictate whether Josh Hader was pitching in baseball games or not. And the 3-run homer in the 5th, let it be known that if they're not going to score, Josh Hader doesn't pitch again.
Yep. Yeah, good play. Just leave him in the bullpen. Leave him in there for 9 more innings and not have to worry about dealing with him today or even on Thursday. All right, so, Chris, look into your crystal ball. I'm going to give you my prediction here in a minute. Now, for full disclosure, it's 8:42 in the morning as we're recording this thing. I want you to look in your crystal ball at 5:07 when they say play ball. Who throws the first pitch for the Braves today?
I think it's Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he didn't rule out, he didn't do what Counsell did. Like, I'm not telling – look, this is not the quarterback situation. I'm not telling you if my guy's healthy or not. I really think – look, if they know it, that's good. But him not saying Morton's off the table became very interesting. I was waiting to hear, especially, you know, when I knew the Counsell had pulled the Burns card off the table. Now, look, could he change his mind too? Could he wake up this morning going, what the hell are we doing? I'm pitching Burns. That doesn't mean anything. What you say doesn't mean anything. But the fact that he said it and Snit didn't – leads me to believe that Charlie Morton, you might ask him to go 3 or 4 or 5 innings today. Let's do this. 3 innings, 4 innings, which would have been the Chavez Smyly thing from the last couple of weeks. So maybe you trust Drew Smyly. I'll tell you this. I don't trust Yoasgar Aranoa.
No.
Now, you can tell me you can give him a quick hook. That's fine. If he's laboring, struggling, can he get through an inning or two? Okay, but you can't guarantee me that because his September was awful.
Yeah, he just hasn't been the same guy since he came back from the injury, which is unfortunate because he was so good. He was the Braves' best starter for a month and a half. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to pick up where he left off. I'm going with you, Chris. I'm going Charlie Morton. He's a big game pitcher. I guarantee you, he went into Snit's office before everyone left the ballpark yesterday and popped in and just said, I'm yours if you need me tomorrow, Skip. And that was probably the end of the conversation, but I got a real feeling it's going to be Charlie. Now, again, you haven't gone short rest with him. You haven't tried this before. He's 37 years old, but he's 37. He's not 97. I mean, he's not rolling in a wheelchair to the ballpark. I mean, this is a guy who wants the game. He wants the ball. He wants to pitch in big games. It's why he's here. I just got a funny feeling it's going to be Charlie Morton. And again, if it's three or four innings and then you turn it over to that combination of Chavez and the rest of your pen, I could absolutely see that being a scenario. You know, somebody asked me on Twitter, well, if you do that and then you have to go with Max in game five, if there is one, then what do you do in the LCS? And I said, you can't even think about the LCS. You got to win this for game first. You got to win one of these next two. You can't worry about planning your rotation for the NLCS before you even clinch a division series. That's just, that can't even be anywhere close to the thought process.
That one is not, but I'll tell you what is. You can actually say, would I rather go in with my gun loaded with six bullets, i.e. Charlie Morton on regular rest for game five, than take a shot in game four? That's a real thing. The championship series isn't. I'm not thinking about that. I am thinking about the game five scenario. I am thinking about what is it I want to do. You know, the expression that I've sort of used a couple of times and didn't even know I was using it, but used it again with a Rowdy Tellez situation in game two, which I thought they thoroughly mishandled, terribly mishandled, as opposed to the Jock Peterson thing. You know, shooting a shot is, I don't even know how. We were talking with Eric Young yesterday, and I used it even with him, and I used it with Tellez. I said, boy, it's a terrible time to be taking this shot. This is not shooting your shot. It's not shooting it with every bullet in the gun. It's that was a pea shooter, 3-0, having that guy lead off. Yesterday was nothing in a scenario where a pitcher was coming up, and your bottom of the lineup, by the way, give credit to 7 and 8, because we had said, how is this a different baseball team when 7 and 8 gives you the possibility of helping you score runs? So that played itself out yesterday. One team handled it poorly. Thank goodness it was them. We actually had it not fall into our laps, because you don't have two singles fall into your lap, but created a scenario where Jock Peterson early in that game was the perfect call. So, you know, shooting the shot in a game four as opposed to a game five is a really interesting question. Do I want to have their building, it's going to be loud, blah, blah, blah? That's not what I'm thinking about with Charlie Morton. I'm thinking about, do I have a better chance to win a game five with him, or do I just want to attempt, and that's what it would be, short rest, an attempt to win it now? I think we both lean towards they're going to give Charlie Morton a baseball and see what they can get out of him.
Go for it now. Don't get on the plane. Have it sit
I don't know,
all
though.
Night.
I don't think it's that simple. I think this is not the LCS thing. It's the total. It's not that. How do I give myself a best chance to win the series? Right. Trying to win it today is different than putting yourself from what you believe. Like, you really got to believe this wholeheartedly. My best chance to win is, we can win today's game no matter who starts. My best chance to win the series is Charlie Morton in a game five. That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's easily dismissed. I don't think that's sort of hedging a bet. And I've seen guys hedge bets scared. That's not what that would be to me. You can win today's game no matter who throws. You can win today's game if Iwasco Aranoa, Chavez, Smiley, if they all throw today, you can win. The game five scenario is the one where you have to wholeheartedly say, I can live with myself if the Morton thing doesn't work today, that we're still in our best position. And I can make a case you wouldn't be, even with Max Fried, if Charlie Morton started game one, not having him available in game five. That's very different than the what am I going to do for the next series thing. I don't care what I'm doing for the next series. Right. I don't care what I got to get there.
Yeah, heck, you could have Waskari Noah start game one if you have to, if that's what it takes to get you to the LCS. Yeah. It's, you know, you figure it out when you get there. So these are all conversations I'm sure have been taking place throughout the course.
There's
of
There's one
night,
other one that's going to happen is the Jock Peterson. Does he get four ABs today? Is today the day? Now, again, they haven't announced their pitcher, so could you change your lineup? You might have two lineup cards depending upon who's starting. Does Rosario get the day off? Do you do that? And still play Soler at the top of the lineup and maybe hit Jock in a different place than what he was brought here to do. I don't know. That one's going to be really interesting as well. As soon as the lineups come out and they make it official, you and I will have an opportunity to talk about it this afternoon. Here's the good news. We are working at least today from a position of strength. We're not facing elimination. They are. I don't want to make moves based upon that or over make moves. I don't want to go crazy making moves knowing that I have that advantage, because you got to play the game today like it's a baseball game, postseason elimination or not. You got to figure out a way to best win it. That's your lineup. That's your starting pitcher. That's your bullpen rotation. But we are not the ones who are in a more desperate situation. And by the way, being desperate when you haven't scored in 19 innings, that is really desperate. You're trying to do something today that you have not done for the entirety basically of the series except for one swing.
Yeah, exactly right. And just two runs in the first 27 innings of this series. We
What's
knew the
their
Brewers,
batting average, Kevin? I don't even. What are they hitting?
Is bad and is good? Is that a good answer?
No, it's not. It's not strong enough. It's not strong
terrible,
enough.
Awful.
Worse. This is Charles Barkley terrible. It really is.
It's
incredible.
Good.
Listen, we're not hitting the crap out of it either. And again, no. Batting average is not the one. I will say that the home run thing that I talked about, the simplest thing for me this entire series, win the home run battle, win the game, win the home run battle, win the series, that's in play right now because I really did believe that. You can't let that bunch out homer you or else you're going home. You're not going to create enough offense. So far, so good in that department. Thank you, Jock. Thank you, Austin Riley, for the three compared to their one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, lots to figure out over the course of today. And of course, you and I will have the Ford leadoff show at 3:50 Eastern on the Atlanta Braves radio network. Hopefully by 3:50 Eastern, we know what a lineup and what the starting rotations look like for both sides.
One last thing. sure. I was at the game yesterday, so I didn't know. And I tried watching, you know, I zipped through it late last night. Mm-hmm. I had DVR on, but I had my phone streaming to another TV. To a separate TV so I could actually watch the playoff games. Can I don't know if anybody will listen to this and will know because you watched the game at home. As I was zipping through, and I didn't think about it till just now, did I see Charlie Morton on the bench with the book on his lap talking to Max Fried?
That's a good question.
Would that be an indication as well? That's old school. Uh-huh. Look, he wasn't charting. I didn't see a pen in his hand. But is there a chance he had the – I zipped through it, and I was just thinking as we were talking about Morton, did I see him with a book on his lap? If anybody hears this, I'm going to ask on the air, if anybody watching at home saw Charlie Morton sitting next to Max Fried with a book on his lap. And by the way, that's their book. That's what they do. That's hot zones. That's cold zones. Does that make any difference? Does that lead you to believe that maybe that was an old school, old fashioned moment that Charlie actually knows he's getting to start today?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I'm just lucky I can see the field from the press box. I forgot my sunglasses yesterday, and I couldn't see anything looking out. So you had a better view of the TV than I did because it was right above my head up there in the press box.
No. I'm saying, and this was last night as I zipped through, and I saw Morton talking to Fried for a second. I said, good, that's why you brought Charlie Morton here. That's a good moment. But I'm thinking about it now, and I thought he might have had a book on his lap. I'm going to ask somebody today. Again, I'm not. We have Eric Young on today. We have Joe Simpson, who had a classic. Classic. I heard that one this morning. I didn't hear that one yesterday on the Duval play. Boy, it will tell you the play-by-play analyst job has changed over the years. You are now allowed to treat it more like sports talk radio than ever before.
Joe was great. What are you doing?
Well, it was emotional, no doubt about it. All right, you and I will be back for the pregame this afternoon, and then you and I will head into the building. Hopefully, you're doing postgame. I'm down on the field talking to champagne-soaked fellas about what it's like to actually get another opportunity in the National League Championship Series as early as tonight. We will bring that to you starting this afternoon. Don't forget, you can stream it, 680thefan.com. Hit the live stream. You can get that. Or the 680 The Fan app. No matter where you are, you can get the local call of the game on top of that. Thank you to 680 The Fan locally. Thank you to Major League Baseball for being smart enough to have that in play. So, Braves fans, it is truly Braves country and beyond. WWW is World Wide Web. You can listen to this wherever the hell you are. So we appreciate you doing that. Hit subscribe. We got a few more of these coming up, no doubt about it. Thanks again to Hooters. Thanks again to Grey Goose for being a part of this all year long. More importantly, thanks to you guys for being a part. Kevin and I will be back this afternoon with the official pregame show of your Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.